Page 24. Newsworthy clips. Update your vocabulary with news clips from around the world. A preventative maintenance schedule for men's health. Few men would drive a beloved sports car into the ground, ruining its engine for lack of routine oil changes, tune-ups, or new belts. Yet, many men don't think twice about neglecting their health, letting a decade or more slip by without scheduling a checkup, says Jeff Kane, president-elect of the American Academy of Family Physicians. One-third of men have no regular doctor, and the same numbers say they visit a doc only when really sick. Men are used to maintaining their cars, but they aren't used to maintaining themselves, says Kane. But it's just like taking your car to a regular mechanic. The same doctor who takes care of you when you're sick can take care of you when you're well, and hopefully prevent problems down the road. Unlike women, however, men aren't handed a preventative maintenance schedule. Women learn from an early age to schedule a well woman exam every year. Women stay in the medical system as they age, bear children, and go through menopause, frequently connecting not only with their own doctors, but with their children's pediatricians. Men, on the other hand, may disappear from the patient rolls at age 18, avoiding checkups until age 40 or 50 when they show up for a cancer screening, often at the suggestion of their wives, Kane says. Yet doctors say there are lots of things that men can do to take care of themselves, both inside and outside of the exam room, at every stage of life. Eating well, exercising, and avoiding tobacco are some of the keys to good health, says Michael Lefevre of the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force. Lefevre says annual flu shots are important at any age as well. Those behavioral things are probably more important than getting tests. Scientists discover way to overcome phosphorus deficiency for rice growth. Rice, like all plants, needs phosphorus to grow. But there's a problem for this crop, the most important calorie source in Asia. Much of the soil it's grown on is low in phosphorus, and yields suffer as a result. What's more, world supplies of phosphorus, it comes from phosphate rock, are expensive for poor farmers and won't last forever. So it would be very helpful if rice plants could be altered to tolerate low phosphorus levels. After 15 years of work, scientists in the Philippines, Japan, and Italy have now reported doing just that. The trick was to go back to rice varieties from East India that are known to grow better in poor soils than most. Scientists had identified a strain called Kasalath that they knew could tolerate phosphorus deficiency, but they didn't know what was behind it. They had narrowed down the effect to a particular part of the genome, though, and DNA sequencing later revealed that this region contained a gene that didn't exist in the reference rice genome, or in other varieties that do poorly in phosphorus-deficient soils. In the new study, molecular biologist Rico Gamuyao of the International Rice Research Institute in the Philippines and collaborators examined this gene in detail. They concluded that it is indeed responsible for Kasalath's hardiness in low-phosphorus environments. With the added gene, the plants boosted their grain yield by more than 60% under phosphorus-poor conditions. About half of the world's agricultural lands are poor in phosphorus, and supplies of rock phosphate could run out in 50 to 100 years, noted Leon V. Kulchian, an expert on crop genetics and soil nutrients. These findings have opened up new avenues for improving crop plant phosphorus efficiency. Tweet seeds. As the cast and crew hurried to prepare for their 7:30 p.m. curtain call in Connecticut's Norma Terrace Theater last month, patrons filled the house and prepared to get lost in the production of Hello, My Baby. For some, that meant powering on their smartphones and iPads and telling all of their Twitter followers about the musical with the hashtag HMBMusical. A growing number of theaters and performing groups across the country are setting aside tweet seats, in-house seats for patrons to live tweet during performances. Rick Dildine, the executive director for Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, an outdoor theater festival that began using tweet seats 2 years ago, said tweet seats have become a national trend. Coast to coast, theaters are experimenting with how to use tweet seats effectively, he said. The arts are evolving right now. They are participatory. Social media is a tool we rely on, and we have been unafraid to experiment with it. The Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, CSO, began using tweet seats in September, and Chris Pinello, its vice president for communication, said it was successful based on hashtag traffic. It was great to see how people were reacting to the orchestra, and frankly, reacting to the insights happening backstage, he said. Tweeting the CSO's performance was like attending a members-only social event in the midst of a traditionally formal setting, said tweeter Jennifer Nissenbaum, 35. I could communicate openly about my reactions to the music, musicians, and conductor without speaking a word. Plus, I had the opportunity to engage others and get their reactions to the performance. Pinello said the CSO hopes tweet seats will attract a different audience. For a lot of new audience members, this is a way to further advance their concert-going experience, he said. Vocabulary focus. Preventative. Let something slip by. Down the road. On the other hand. Deficiency. Yield. Strain. Get lost in. Participatory. Unafraid. Insight.